Blog Talk Radio.
Emotional development, relationships, experiences, environment, and genetics all take a hand in molding who we are today. And now we are poets. So welcome to Double Helix, where we examine the X's and Y's on a show celebrating the human experience, where your true colors are what ties the room together. So get comfortable, because what you're about to hear is the poetry that we are made of. This is Double Helix on Late Night Poets, part of allpoetry.com. You don't have to be in the group to participate, but it's more fun if you are, because you can follow along with us, read in the chat, and chat with us about what's going on. Dexter, my usual host partner, is coaching football currently. Good luck, Dex, and your team. And in his place, I have, I believe, Pam. Hello, Pam.
Hey there, Phoebe. How's it going?
Pretty good. I love the fall, awesome. And it's just starting to feel like fall. How are you doing?
Those cooler temperatures are really nice. All in all, I'm doing pretty good. It was a napping day. I just gave myself permission to nap without feeling guilt. And
I love that.
Yeah. Yes. It doesn't happen too often. The letting go of the guilt isn't always easy. But, wonderful lineup of poetry tonight. Like, really great idea for a topic. And of course I wish Dexter and his team luck too. So it'll be cool to hear how they did.
I agree. He sounds like he would be a great coach. I don't know much about football, but just based on his enthusiasm for helping the kids, I think he'd be good.
Yes, oh, definitely. And that's the number one thing. I mean, obviously you have to have a knowledge of the sports, but the technical stuff I think pales in comparison to having a desire to help the kids and, you know, be there for them.
I agree. So his contest, if anyone listening wasn't a part of it, is about the body. There's a saying that a body is a temple. Some people view it as a vessel. Some people love their body. Some people hate their body. We want to know what your opinion is on your body. Be creative on your approach, but be personal. So that was the contest, and I think we have many points of view about people reflecting on their bodies. So this should be a really interesting night. I think I'm going to start with A SoundCloud by Eric Svensson. So I'm going to put up the link for those of you following along in the chat, and then I'm going to play Eric.
Ideal. Oh, how to maintain, contain the classical Greek ideal of perfection. Body, mind, and spirit purring like a Rolls Royce engine. Panthers speak athletic prowess from cradle to grave. Astute mind oiled with religion, philosophy, and science. Feisty spirit, crackerjack bright, lord and master of its fleshy temple. Oh, insidious yeast of entropy, 62 years you've made your mark. Use David's statue, intaglius scratched by life. Exploration exacted character building. Crow's feet around the eyes fit knots. Foxy silver gray hair tiaras, quicksilver memory. Oh, certainly the heart engine still purrs like a Rolls Royce. Shock absorbers a bit squeaky at times. Easy rider, slingshot days, a vague memory of the past. Sleep panther shape shifted into middle-aged life. Voice till roars, MGM loud. Though gentler tones come easier. Talk wrench time duly applies entropy's grease. Oh, allegro aspirations downscale to andante realities. Fortunately, control tower mind still gives clear directives. It's all mind over matter, funny boy. Intaglio scratched David obliges with gusto. Cease this day. Refute, refire. Be fully present this instant. Oh, beloved mirror soliloquies aren't uncommon. In the nude, sepia David ponders the fate of Dorian Gray. Chassis still containable, dependable. Body scars tell tales. Quietly, blue eyes penetrate the reflection once venerated. Now a subtle smile genuflects before bodily residual decay. Nothing ventured, nothing gained dances effervescent firefly ditties. Oh, best we brave hearts embrace our eclectic era's journey. Classical Greek ideal of perfection, now a minor template. David's integrous, scratched body now takes the back seat, gives way for sterling mind to quicksilver. Condor's spirit alchemizes, soars to higher echelons of evolution. Maintain, contain, and enjoy our memento mori experience while we can. Emperor.
Thank you for the SoundCloud, Eric. I love to hear it in your own voice. I really loved the second stanza. Oh, insidious yeast of entropy, 62 years you've made your mark. You've David's statue entangled, scratched by life. I just love that because, first of all, like he could just say, I'm 62, but 62 years you've made your mark. It's just such a wonderful, dramatic way of wording that. I love it. He always gives such a classical feel with his word choices and also his performance, you know. I feel like I can imagine him in one of those big, fancy office chairs that, like, Tolkien would be in, and in a little home library office thing with a globe, and just, like, I don't know, he's so dignified. I love it. The idea that it's intelligence and experience that are marking the body. Crow's feet around the eyes fib not. Exploration exacted character building. You know, just like David's statue was you know, built by cutting away pieces and of the stone, here he feels like he has been carved into who he is by his life. I really loved the references, like David, which is repeated, but also Dorian Gray. There's such wonderful ways of expressing what's going on, like the mirror of and Dorian Gray, I think, was really great. Beloved mirror soliloquies aren't uncommon in the nude. I also can just imagine soliloquies in front of the mirror. I love his word choices so much. This was wonderful. And you can see the feisty spirit, crackerjack bright, that he mentions in the first stanza, as he has that kind of dry humor throughout. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Well, I liked what you had to say about how he has a classical feel and a dry humor throughout. And I did also really like that second stanza with the mention of youth David statue and tile gold scratched by life. To me, I like that this poem pays tribute to the body and the mind, saying that they're both important. They're both created and, you know, to be made what they are through life's experiences. I really like where he says, astute mind oiled with religion, philosophy, and science, feisty spirit, crackerjack, bright lord and master of its fleshy temple. And there's no point at which I feel like he puts down the body or puts down the mind, but just simply accepts that while you can still take care of your body, you know, there are going to be changes that come with age, and you should embrace them. I do also really like that last stanza where it says, David's intelligible scratched body now takes a back seat, gives way for sterling mind of quicksilver. Condor spirit alchemized soars the higher echelons of evolution. And to me, that says if we stop, you know, worrying so much about our bodies being that perfection. And I like how that kind of back around and connects with that second stanza, which gives it a really polished feel. But yeah, we can just really just enjoy and embrace these moments of life, even as the body and the face is changing. So excellent write and very well done.
That was a great comment, Pam. I agree with everything that you said. The next poem is by Daniel Deschino, and it's called The Body is a Vaudeville Act with a Broken Leg. With a mind of mischievous effervescence, I float through life, a leaf in a hurricane. I can ride the winds that would tear down triumphant cities of steel and rock. I can sail on currents across the oceans and live on forest peaks atop ancient mountains. Yet, the smallest of innocent hands can rip my flesh and veins with the childlike wonder of effort behind curiosity's power. Some days, I am a free and menacing will-o'-wisp. Others, a skeleton locked in a cage of aging meat and poison plasma. The present is a confusing party host. A kiss goodnight and all is memory, as the present still remains a new disguise. And a new celebration. Which side of the laughter am I on today? And Paul. Oh, I really enjoyed this. I liked a skeleton locked in a cage of aging meat and poison plasma. I've thought of skeleton as the cage before, but I've never thought of the skeleton being locked within the meat of a person, and then it's aging meat. It's really interestingly put. You know, it's kind of gory, but I love it. And then to kind of compare how he can be so free, like the leaf, or he can feel trapped. It can go either way. And I think that's the thing about our relationship with our bodies. Sometimes, you know, it limits you, and sometimes you feel like you have so many possibilities. So it depends on the day or how you're doing. Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this. You know, interesting to see, because I'd read all the poetry earlier about how many different responses there was. And, you know, and you think, oh, well, everybody's got a body, everybody can write about it, but you don't realize until you start thinking about writing a poem, because I never got around to mine, but I thought about it, or reading other people, how much there is to say about how our body affects us. And I like Daniel's here. I feel like there's a subtle humor to it, especially, you know, where he says, yet the smallest of innocent hands can rip my flesh and veins with the childlike wonder of little effort behind curiosity's power. And maybe it's just me, because that part makes me think of the meme that says, you know, things I used to have to do to get hurt, like fall out of a tree and, you know, list things, and things I have to do now to get hurt. You know, sleep wrong, sneeze, you know, get something out of the cupboard. I mean, it's just amazing the way you get to this, I think, certain age where you feel like your body has betrayed you, and every little thing is a potential enemy. But yet at times, and he really touches well on this, at times your mind feels so free. I love the use of the word will-o-wisp. Some days I am free and menacing will-o-wisp. Others a skeleton locked in a cage of aging meat and poisonous plasma. And a wonderful end line. Which side of the laughter am I on today? Am I the one, you know, like laughing out loud, you know, to everything and everyone around me? Or, you know, am I laughing at myself? You know, what's going on with me today? I like that question. I like how this looks at the fluctuations that happen. So excellent write and very well done.
I agree. Our next poem is by Randy G. And Pam, would you be able to read that for me?
Absolutely. I would be happy to. Kind of surprised Randy didn't call in, but that's all right. All right, so Atlas Wept by Randy G. In my younger days, I was proud of my physique, and I like to think it produced a bit of mystique about how I could have such a chiseled shape. As I walked on the beach, the girls' eyes gape. It required a lot of work in the gym day and night. No fast food or sweets, had to eat what's right. With many sacrifices through sweat and tears, always keeping me fit in those younger years. Time's a constant enemy and a relentless foe, chipping away at the facade before you know. Just kept getting harder to stay with that pace. My body's giving out, something I had to face. A mirror was my friend back in my glory days, but I avoid them now. They are like a malaise. Gone the tight body that made the girl swoon. I've ended looking up like an old wrinkled prune. End poem.
Well done, Pam. And I really enjoyed this, Randy G. I like that it talks about how you have to have sacrifices if you, if you want to have the you know, great physique, you have to hit the gym and avoid fast food and sweets and, you know, take care of yourself really well, which, you know, I'm not good at any of those things, so I cannot say that I have that proud physique. And I like the way he talks about time, constant enemy and relentless foe. Relentless for sure, because it never stops. Even if you're aging very gradually, it's going that direction. It is harder to stay with that pace. Even if you maintain the working out and the eating right, you know, your metabolism is not the same when you're in your 40s as it is when you're, you know, in your 20s. I've definitely noticed, I mean, I'm not quite in my 40s yet, but I definitely noticed that if I act exactly like I did when I was younger, my body can't handle it the same. It does. That meme you were talking about, Pam, it's true. I hurt myself just like standing up today. I had to get some books off the shelf today. Like I had a big list of ones I had to find at the library, and usually I have other staff who do that for me, and I do more like the office work, not so much the like moving books around work. But I today had to do the physical stuff, and like I can't reach the ones up high, and to do the ones down low, you have to like sit on the floor to do it because I can't squat the same. And I was just like, wow, this is harder than I thought. And I was mad at myself for how difficult it was.
Oh my god. Yep. Well, very true.
I mean, it's not like grabbing one book. It was like hours of doing it, but still. I thought this was really well done. And, you know, I think the mirror is a common theme tonight where people look and they feel differently about themselves in the mirror than they used to. So I like that everyone handles it in their own kind of twist, though. As much as there's reoccurring themes, everyone sounds different, and I think Randy did a great job.
I have to agree. I like how you mentioned that the mirror seems to be a common theme, and that makes sense because the mirror is where we really gauge our body. And I'm like you, I've never had a real chiseled, real good in shape physique. You know, though I do admit I look at pictures of myself when I was like, you know, in my late teens, early 20s, and I thought I was fat then, you know, I thought I was out of shape, but I look at myself and go, dang, I wish I could get back to that, you know? But As always, Randy has great rhyme and flow. I like that it's a realistic look at what it takes to be in really good shape. Like, it doesn't just magically happen. There, you know, is sacrifices made. There is, you know, exercise, eating the right foods, you know. But even with that, time is a constant enemy, as he mentions. I really like the use of the word malaise. Amir was my friend back in my glory days, but I avoid them now. They are like a malaise. You know, just a wonderful, realistic look at how the body changes. So excellent write and very well done.
Yes, and I totally get what you mean about, like, looking back at when you thought that your body wasn't great. I remember, like, at my brother's wedding, like, feeling so huge in the dress that I had to wear. And then I was looking at pictures of it the other day, and I was like, wow, I wish I looked like that. And that's not that long ago either. I was just like, oh my goodness, like I was unhappy with that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Hindsight.
Yeah.
Our next poem is by Vicky Moore, and it's called My Body. My body is old and tired, overweight and wrinkled. My back always hurts, and so do my knees. My lungs are ravaged by COPD. My body has endured much: abuse, broken bones, a heart attack, diabetes, and brain surgery. Once it was beautiful: long legs, slim waist, large breasts up high, long, lovely hair and brown eyes with a fleck of green in one. Now all that's left is a shell, a dried-up husk of a woman. I would not trade this body for my younger one now, for it shows the life I've lived, with every scar, every faded tattoo, and every ache and pain. My life is still beautiful. End poem. Oh, Vicky, I really enjoy this. And I at some parts I felt like it could have been about me. as much as there's all of these changes and illnesses and things that, you know, make it difficult to love your body sometimes because pain. There was a time where you feel like you were more attractive physically, but I love that you say that you wouldn't trade it because, you know, it is kind of like your memory book, where each, like you say, each scar, each tattoo, even some of the pains tell your life story. And I love that you end on such a positive note of my life is still beautiful. I think that's wonderful. Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, that was wonderful that she ended on a positive note. And this is an extremely relatable write, you know, and I think to me this is one of those writes that, you know, powerfully speaks out about an important subject that, you know, oftentimes we feel betrayed by our body. Oftentimes, you know, it's not just about getting, for some people, you know, it's not just about getting a wrinkle here or there. You know, there is those sicknesses that come on, the COPD, you know, heart attack, diabetes, brain surgery, she mentions. And there's going to be people that read that and understand and relate to it. So I think this is a wonderfully emotive write. As, you know, she goes through these lists of ailments and then mentions that, you know, that she, you know, embraces herself, you know. She embraces who she is in the moment with the every scar and faded tattoo and every ache and pain because, as she says, my life is beautiful. I really like that she mentions that she has brown eyes with a fleck of green in one. That is really cool. You know, I think that it would be really cool to just have that unique characteristic. So, awesome writing, very well done.
I like that you pointed out that part about the eye. I really like eyes that are like that too, where it's like a very distinct kind of color pattern, and it's just beautiful. And often it's those little bits that, you know, make someone's appearance unique, like a little freckle or like something that's just a little bit off that, you know, some people might think of as a flaw, but really they have like a beauty to those little bits of difference. And I love eyes like that. So I'm glad that you pointed that part out, Pam.
Yeah. Well, it's not the eyes, but out of my four kids, three of them have like a freckle birthmark on their earlobe.
Huh.
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of cool. That is.
All in the same spot. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. I have aunts who are twins, and you could only tell them apart by their birthmarks.
Oh, wow.
When they were younger.
Good thing they had the birthmarks. If I
right?
had twins and those identical twins, I would have ended up taking, like, permanent marker, a tattoo ink, honestly. I probably would have given them, like, you know, tattoos as infants just to tell them apart.
I think my grandma cut one of their hair really short so she could tell.
That's a good way. That's probably a better way than tattooing them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're my dad's younger sisters, and they would always be, like, pretending to be the other one to get him in trouble.
That's funny.
I'm watching for Fallon because she said she was going to join, but I don't see her yet. So, for now, would you please read the poem by Paul Thomas?
I would be happy to. All right. Dust to Dust by Paul Thomas. Whenever heart and mind off-center, the body called upon to give solace, miles of walking regardless of weather, a belated enlightenment after years of alcohol abuse, self-medicating or drug abuse observed of so many. The body was felled by a car while still young, toppled off a bicycle as a teenager, bones broken early adulthood, occupational fatigue, then apathy as an elder, yet here we are, still friends. Bodies not given thought during childhood years, social development priorities during post-adolescence. As adults, many believe ego and pride the engineers. Our physical shells, spiritual temples, shown only cursory appreciation. The body has a choice, forgive and live to 100, or turn contemptuous and riddle young with disease. When living as one with birth gift, bless each step and day. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And wonderful poem, Paul. I like a belated enlightenment. You know, sometimes you don't appreciate your body until later. So recognizing the way he was mistreating his body and changing that approach to recognize all the ways that it went through rough times, like, you know, felled by a car, toppled off a bicycle, broken bones, and then apathy. I like that apathy is put in there with those big accidents because it can also have a big impact. And then he says, yet here we are, still friends. And I really like that line. And I think I'm going to put my poem next because I connect with that line, and I think you'll understand once you hear mine. So here we are, still friends, works really nicely after all they've been through. I like that it says, or turn contemptuous. It's like your body becomes angry at you for what you've done to it. And there is that, you know, division of mind and body that that so many of us are writing about here and talking about our body as if it's not us, as if it's, you know, just separate from our mind, which I've always kind of had that separation where I think of, like, this is my body, this is me, and my body was just something that was, like, an obstacle for me, really. And I see that in a lot of these poems, in this one where it's, like, it's a separate thing, your body. And it's just, it's interesting the way that things are perceived. So it just makes me think. Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this is wonderful. I really like how you talk about the separation between mind and body and how oftentimes the body is seen as an obstacle. I really like how the main theme of this is about taking care of yourself, taking care of your body and mind, and how sometimes, you know, there is as he says, a belated enlightenment after years of alcohol abuse, self-medicating or drug abuse observed of so many. And that is a common thing to happen, is oftentimes it's not until later in life that we realize we need to take care of ourselves. You know, I mean, we especially, you know, love our junk food in our young years, and, you know, but times and life changes. And I like that he writes about, I mean, I'm sorry that it happened. It must have been a very scary experience, but the body was felled by a car while still young, toppled off a bicycle as a teenager. Now, that had to have been maybe also been the kind of experience that, you know, made you think about life and, you know, how precious it was. I also particularly like the lines, as adults, many believe ego and pride, the engineers, our physical shells, spiritual temples, shown only cursory appreciation. And the idea that we second guess the importance of the body and of taking care of it. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
I agree. Okay, I'm going to do mine just because I think that kind of goes with his friendship line. Frenemy. We have a love-hate relationship, heavy on the hate. Not because I'm heavy, which people assume is the issue. She grew up too fast. I wasn't ready. She couldn't see what was right in front of her. I lost opportunities. So she shut down when I needed her, abandoned me in anxiety. She locked me in the bathroom, overreacting to my food choices. She had a gravitational pull that attracted the wrong guys, but never let me enjoy them. She was incapable of relaxing. She tortured me, stripped me of my confidence, delayed my dreams, stole all the attention. After 3.5 decades, I'm finally the one in charge, and she serves me. Imperfect though she is, I'm starting to love her. End poem.
Great read and write there, Phoebe. You know, I just really like this. I like how, you know, as you mentioned in your AN, it's the mind talking about the body. And great choice for a title, Frenemy. And I can definitely see why, as you mentioned, that this connected really well with that last rite. And definitely this is relatable. I think many people see their body as a frenemy. I know I can definitely relate to this one. I really like, she grew up too fast. I wasn't ready. For me, that makes me think about how, like, in seventh grade, I went from, an A cup to a C cup. And it just, you know, you're just not ready for all those different changes. And I like where you mentioned she had a gravitational pull that attracted the wrong guys but never let me enjoy them. She was incapable of relaxing. She tortured me, stripped up my confidence, delayed my dreams, stole all the attention. It's crazy how much, and we all do it. We put so much importance in the body, and we put so much blame on the body, and it's different imperfections throughout the years. And then I like how you come to that positive note at the end about, you know, your 3.5 decades. I'm finally the one in charge, and she serves me, imperfect though she is, I'm starting to love her. There's that idea of realizing the importance of the mind and realizing the idea of accepting and embracing and loving the imperfections of yourself. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you. I'm putting up a poem by Liquid Mind Forever. Could you read that one for me, please?
I will be happy to. All right. Let me just make the print a little bigger. All right, here we go. We are not this body by Liquid Mind Forever. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God, A Course in Miracles. We seek for treasures of gold, bejeweled fame, mistake, greed, and ego with God's holy name. Our brothers beyond this earthly atmosphere, the Council of Nine, align in peace, draw near. Civilizations 24, channeling wisdom for planet Earth's children to explore, bound within text, lessons and manual teach, letting go and forgiven within our reach. What we see but our ego mind's projection of who, where, and what of our guilt's perception. Star seeds from other planetary systems evolving as supply and eternal crystals. We are to each other student and teacher, creatures ascending beyond primal nature. End poem.
Excellent read, Pam. And I enjoyed this poem as well. It's more abstract than a lot of the ones we've been reading, but I think the title really ties it all together. We are not this body. That concept of us being more than our physical selves, and the emphasis on the importance of the minds and spirits. I like the term star seeds. The line before that, our guilt's perception. And then to end with the going beyond our primal nature. So we're not just these bodies and their instincts. I found this one to be magical in its making you think beyond. What did you think?
I like that, magical and making you think beyond. And yes, she very clearly says it in her title, we are not this body. You know, the idea that there is definitely more to us than the body. There is a magical and spiritual feel to this idea of embracing the spirit, and not just your own spirit, but the idea of everyone, you know, all the spirits throughout the world and time, the idea that we're all connected. I like her use of numbers, like Civilization 24, channeling wisdom for planet Earth's children to explore. It's very thought-provoking, because I'm not exactly sure what those numbers indicate, but I like poetry that makes me think. I too like the phrase star seeds. I thought that was beautiful. And wonderful ending lines. We are here to teach other student and teacher creatures ascending beyond primal nature. So it's that idea of as you become enlightened about the importance of the spirit, you can learn, you can teach others as well as learn from others. So I like the whole idea of learning from each other and teaching each other. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
I like that too, of the learning and teaching kind of circle. We all do it from each other. I like that. There's not just the master and the student, but everyone learning from each other. For our next poem, we have a SoundCloud. This is by Robert M., and it's called Shadowed. Just find his audio here.
Fragile mind, where despairs have dwelt and dined, tender notions must unwind to prepare for what's to come. Aspirations that were led blind awaken in the ruins behind, the temple where the heart's confined, as it beats a lowly hum. The feeble heart has been maimed, baptized in doubt and shamed, eternally it will be blamed for its cries that went unheard. Those dreams that will go unnamed left this temple warped, defamed. The dark within cannot be tamed by the creed of a single word. Hissing darkness readies claws, circling prey with gaping maws, preparing to ravage the flaws of the soul that is lain bare. In the raven's wicked cause rest the morbid, solemn clause, granting my pain a minor pause, if I were to simply not care. So now I sit, numb and cold, lamenting of the soul I sold. Regret takes its spiteful hold of another soul to damn. Spirits twist to hymns of old, dark destinies now unfold. Shadowed whispers remain untold, for a shadow is all that I am.
Great SoundCloud. Thank you, Robert, for submitting that. It's wonderful to get audios from poets if they're not able to call in. And speaking of calling in, I see someone new, and I believe it's Felon. Welcome, Felon.
Hello, hello. I was able to make it right quick for you guys.
Love that. So we're just commenting on Robert's poem, and then we'll put you up next. Were you able to hear Robert's poem?
I got to hear a little bit of it, so if you come back to me, I just want to read over it one more time.
Sure.
Okay.
He has, like, this really cool, dark vibe that reminds me of, like, Tim Burton and Neil Gaiman and, like, Poe, the ideas within it are expressed in a way that really flows nicely. I like his use of rhyme, and I pretty much love anything that has Raven, so he had me at Raven. I also like the idea that shadow is all that I am. It's like he gave up all of the things about himself as he went through life. So this isn't as much about the body as many of the entries, but I think it's more about, like, the absence of the body as he becomes just shadow, metaphorically speaking. Or even if this has a further kind of gothic mystical feel, then maybe not just metaphorically. But I think it's worded just beautifully, and he did a great SoundCloud. Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, as always, Robert definitely did do a great SoundCloud. Wonderful reading voice. I really thought this was a beautiful, dark write. I particularly liked where he says the feeble heart that has been maimed, baptized in doubt and shame, eternally it will be blamed. You know, there's something to me there that speaks on the idea when we grow up in an atmosphere where there's shaming, you know, and, you know, that it affects the self-esteem. And I also really like where it says, those dreams that will go unnamed, left this temple warped, defamed, the dark within cannot be tamed. I like the mention of the use of the word temple, and I thought it fit really well with the whole idea that the body is a temple, but sometimes that temple falls apart. And sometimes I think the spirit, the soul is a temple, and sometimes that falls apart. There's just a real sense of, you know, going into a darkness that can't be taken back. Spirits twist the hymns of old, dark destinies now unfold, shadowed whispers remain untold. You know, that idea of that transformation, as you mentioned, that, you know, that metaphorical, yes, that's it, metaphorical transformation where you no longer feel like the person you once were and you can never go back to that. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Fallon, did you get a chance to look it over?
Yes, I did. And I would have to say that I do believe that in order, you have to have a housing just to store all of your little products of your life or lessons in life. So I think this is about the body, because where he says here, it says, so I sit, so now I sit numb and cold, lemonading of the soul I sold, regret takes its rightful hold. And it's the housing of these things, and the spirit, it's the housing of the spirit, and it is our body. Our body is what we store in it. So I think it's just not the mind, but it's the body and the soul. It's all together. It makes one. So this is a dark right, and I like where he used the word feeble as well, and Raven. He does have a little bit of Poe to his writing, you know, remarks it. And then I really do enjoy it. Great poem.
I like what you said there about needing the body to house all of those things. I've put your poem up if you're ready to read it, Fallon.
Okay. Mine was off of everybody's is the body. Blind moment. Can I borrow a suitcase by Fallon? Packing for the journey of my existence leaves me sitting on an overstuffed suitcase. Failing to include so many events, goals, and bucket list items, prior travels collected wear and tear, causing it hard to keep clothes. Repair comes with when packing lighter, taking only the bare necessities and leaving out all my wants. My tomorrow is left compact tight, the outer appearance tattooed in stickers, telling my past one trip at a time. As the broken handle states, you have maybe one more adventure left. End point.
Oh, I love this as an extended metaphor, Fel. The prior travels collected wear and tear is such a great way of talking about like how your past can wear your body down, but at the same time, you have all of these mementos, the outer appearance tattooed in stickers, tell my past one trip at a time, and there's a beauty to that, even if it's scars or actual tattoos or all different things, that it shows your story. And being proud of that and having your past travels kind of marked down. And I like the talk about taking only the bare necessities and learning to pack lighter, because well, first of all the baggage from the past, you know, sometimes you have to choose to focus on certain parts that you're going to bring along with you and to be able to move on, but also, you know, being realistic about what you can bring to the future. So, you know, letting go of some of the wants, but still be seeking adventure. And I don't know. The only thing I'm skeptical about is at the end, maybe one more adventure left. Fallon, you have more than one adventure left. You are a firecracker. There's many more travels in this suitcase.
We'll see.
We might have to duct tape you together, but it's happening.
I'm just condensed down to a carry-on.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Pam, would you like to comment?
Oh, absolutely. This is a great right here, Felon. And I, too, really like that you went with the extended metaphor, the idea of the body or life being, you know, a suitcase, and in which we pack all our experiences that make up ourselves. But learn, as you say in here, to pack lighter. Repair comes from packing lighter, taking only the necessities and leaving out all my wants. It's, you know, the idea of, do I really need this? Does it really bring me joy and happiness, fulfillment? Or is it something I'm just holding on to and can let go of? You know, and I do like the idea of having that positive attitude of that one more adventure, you know, but as Faizy says, you know, definitely more than one. You know, it's just a wonderful write on, you know, how our experiences make up who we are. And oftentimes those experiences help us to realize what and who should be kept in our lives and what and who shouldn't be. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam. I hate to, like, read and run, but I'm in my car and I'm fixing to drive. I'm on crutches, so it's going to take me a minute to get in the house. So when I get in, I will call back. But just, it's like a circus act getting in. So it's almost comical. I'm going to tell you what.
All right. Take care.
So I'll call you back in just a few, I promise.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. It is hard to transfer yourself when you're on crutches. I never mastered that. I've been on them, but I've toppled over quite a bit. yes, I was really glad that she got to call in, so hopefully we'll hear from her again soon.
Yes, you too.
We have a poem by Damn It Dave that I'm going to read, and it's called Body, which is, you know, the popular title of the night. My body's never been a lean machine. I've always had some trouble with my weight. I've never been a sexy figurine, and I have gotten heavier of late. My hairline has receded quite a bit. My joints all pop each time I sit or stand. I try on last year's pants, and they don't fit. I need a hearing aid to hear the band. I need bifocal glasses now to see. My elbows sing to tendonitis blues. Arthritis tries to get the best of me. My feet swell up each time I put on shoes. My body's not a temple or a shrine, and I'm surprised it's in the shape it's in. With spondylosis messing with my spine, it's hard these days to suck it up and grin. The man inside the mirror shakes his head each time he sees me standing in the nude. I step onto the scale with utter dread. The numbers that it shows are pretty rude. I've never liked my body's shape or size, but getting old has made it even worse. I wonder on the day of my demise if I will even fit inside the hearse. End poem. Oh, you're so hard on yourself, damn it, Dave. Damn it, Dave, stop being so hard on yourself. it's, you know, I think these are insecurities that many of us have, you know, worrying about your weight and your hair and, you know, needing glasses. I mean, like, I've needed glasses since grade 3, so I've kind of gotten over that part. But the recognizing that, you know, the illnesses have taken you, with the spondylosis and the arthritis, and your body can be an obstacle. He's very hard on himself, but I think the end, you know, it has that kind of joke to it. So there is still a lighthearted spirit here, as much as he's talking about, you know, dying and thinking negatively of his body. That little joke at the end about not being able to fit in the hearse shows that there's still some lightheartedness in him, I think. What do you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. I actually think this does have a dark, self-deprivating humor that comes through. And, you know, I think that oftentimes with humor is the best way we know how to face the changes and the betrayal that we go through with our body. You know, as always, he's got great rhyme or flow and flow. I like that the third stanza, I think it is. The third stanza where the whole stanza is great, but I especially like my elbows sing the tendonitis blues. You know, I like that he fits the blues in there. And the man inside the mirror shakes his head each time he sees me standing in the nude. I step on a scale with utter dread. The numbers that it shows are pretty rude. I like those lines because to me there's also humor in that, and the way that, you know, we love to shake our fingers and our heads at the, you know, the numbers on the scale. So excellent write here and very well done.
I like that you pointed out that scale thing. I do remember kind of giggling at that part too. the idea of the numbers being rude. Like, how dare you say that? I used to use WeFit as my scale. And if you've gained weight, the WeFit says, uh-oh.
Oh my god.
Or like if you're above your target thing is like, uh oh, you need to work out more. It's just that little oh no voice of it, which is I'd be like, shut up, please.
Yeah, that's what I would be like.
It was just so judgmental. As much as I did it in a cute voice, it was like, that's obese. Like, fuck you.
Gosh. Yeah. I would definitely have to say I'd probably end up, like, taking a baseball bat or something to one of those things.
I got an Apple Watch from my parents for my birthday, and I love it. But if I don't stand up for at least 15 minutes an hour, it tells me, like, you need to stand up more. And I'm like, I'm busy.
Yeah, right. I'm writing poetry. I can't stand up.
Yeah. Also, it was hilarious because I was playing video games with my husband, and there was this one level that was really hard, and, like, you know, like, my character almost died, and it was like, congratulations, you've had a good workout. And I'm like, wow, my pulse must have been, like, racing because I didn't move.
Oh, that's funny.
I was like, good job. I'm like, so that, does that mean it counts, you know, if I get scared playing a game, that's my workout? Maybe.
I would think at least it comes to the heart. I don't know about anything else, but, you know, it would be interesting to see if there are different amounts of calories burned depending on the type of video games you play. You know, like ones that get you more, like, worked up, like your heart racing and your pulse racing. Like, I'm pretty sure that... No, like, I play solitaire, so I'm pretty sure you don't burn any calories with solitaire.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
probably not. That's awesome. Pam, would you read me the poem by Pee Wee Cushion? Cousin?
I would be happy to. All right, this is Tethered by Pee Wee Cousins, and it goes like this. Have no shade of an inkling why my body is a machine, beaten on so mercilessly, yet walks out a masterpiece. Life greatly damaged this one. There is no harm I hadn't done. A lifetime full of drug abuse and flipping cars onto their roofs. Winter arrives and it atrophies, but comes right back in spring. As amazing as it seems to be, at times I feel it's stuck to me. Without it, I just soar away to a different time or plane, get so far and it drags me back, tethered to this wretched trap. It keeps me from transcending, or at least, very least, ascending to a place so far from here, my mind still sees it so clear. It's no cause to be irate, as my mind will separate, but until that comes to be, I'm escaping from my body. End poem.
Wow, this is a powerful piece. I really liked when it's talking about the tether. Without it, I just soar away to a different time or plane, get so far, and it drags me back, tethered to this wretched trap. The idea about, like, you know, you feel like you're mentally capable of something else, you're daydreaming, imagine what's outside of your life, but your body holds you in what you do. And he talks about a lifetime of drug abuse. So, you know, I imagine, having not used drugs myself, except meds, that it would be, you know, kind of an out-of-body experience sometimes, you know, a psychedelic kind of adventure. Again, I don't know. But then to be kind of brought back suddenly into real life when you sober up, to feel trapped within your body, I imagine is kind of, you know, startling and I can't think of the word right now, but that's like, I don't know, I think when he says wretched trap, that's a good way of putting it. Eventually my mind will separate. I imagine they're talking about death, but trying to escape from my body, it sounds like still into alcohol or drugs or anything where you kind of disassociate, or things that help you disassociate. Being tethered, you feel trapped. I find this really interesting and deep. I kind of have the opposite problem where I want to be tethered. I disassociate sometimes, and I want to be, like, more firmly in my body. So I have to, like, do grounding exercises and stuff to be able to be, to feel like I'm not floating away and not connected. So I kind of have an opposite reaction. I find it interesting to have people who are too tethered and want to not be tethered, whereas I used to be like that to the extent that I'm now untethered. So trying to tie that back together, you know, when you let that helium balloon go up and it's like, oh, look at it go through the sky, and then you're like, now it's gone. You got to bring it back down. floated away a little too far. What did you think of the poem, Pam?
I really liked this. I liked the one-word title, tethered. You know, it actually reminds me, I think it was for Parts Near Parts Saint, you had this artwork. And one of the pieces I remember right was the girl's body or spirit, like, attached by a string to hers. I think, anyways, if I remember right, it reminds me of, or that, or I just saw that artwork somewhere.
Yes, you're right. It was a contest for my other show.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, it reminded me of that. You know, and you know, I did think about escapism with this. I don't know if that's the right word, but the idea of how we find different ways to escape. I know for myself, you know, I've never been a big drug user, you know, but I was a daydreamer. Like, I was a very compulsive escape in my daydreams, you know, in order to not face reality. And I like how there is that idea of different ways that we try to escape from our physical selves. And it really did make me think of daydreaming, especially in that last part, and of death, and then that idea that, yeah, someday death will come and we have to accept that. But in the meantime, you know, I'm part of this body, but I still at times want to escape it. It's interesting to me how, you know, how there's such a positive note in those first lines, such a wonderful, like almost like really great self-esteem. You know, have no shade of an inkling why my body is a machine, beaten on so mercilessly, yet walks out a masterpiece. And then goes on to talk about a lifetime of abuse and the mistreatment of the body. And then, you know, to talk about the idea of wanting to escape so from it. And there's almost a duality in that thought, the idea of somebody who at times loves their body and at other times can't wait to escape it. It's definitely very psychological in its presentation and very well done.
I agree. Sorry, I was reading Robbie's comment and forgot to unmute. If you're not in the group chat, join in for more discussion inspired by the poems. It's more fun if you're in the group. Okay, let me just make sure I see. I was the one who read that, right? I've lost track now. I think it was.
I read Kiwi's poem.
You read it. Okay. So then I will read the next one. Oh, Kiwi's here now and had forgotten about the show. Well, sorry we missed you, Kiwi, but I'm glad to have you here listening now. Okay, so I'm going to read the poem by Rain474, and it's called The Essential I Fail to Admire. On to the ugly, dangling skeleton, often wearing similar scary features, we pull on our muscular clothing. Artistically woven, giving me my characteristic feature, unique yet explicit, making me look even more attractive. Houses, pockets of exotic pleasures, hiving life-saving elixir, dipped in the honeycomb of merry measures. While on its shelves, it holds its wealth of experience, carving you as a wise man, shimmering like the gold with worthy moves. Oh, body, without you, I'm like the ghost, who can boast but fail to touch most, for I miss out the visible host. End poem. Oh, this is really interesting. It has a playfulness there that I like at the, well, really the whole time. I was going to say at the end, but really like starting off with that dangling skeleton. The idea of muscles being your clothing. And I guess that makes sense because, you know, you have to build muscles, you have to put them on and work for them all the time. So I like the idea of that being like your clothing that you choose to wear. Some of the wording was quite interesting. So like when it talked about hiving lifesaver ex-elixir, I was thinking it was originally supposed to say having life-saving and that it was a typo, but then it talks about honeycombs. So as soon as I read that, I realized hiving is intentional because the hive of the bees and the honey. So there's some cool wordplay there that took me a second to catch on to. I'm sorry if I stumbled on my words for that one, Rain474, because that's really cool how you worked that in with the spelling choices. And then the alliteration of merry measures just sounds really nice. I like the way that you talk to the body, oh, body, without you. And, you know, having that need to be able to be visible and interact with other people through having a body is interesting. So this is a fun one. I quite enjoyed it. Pam, what did you think?
I thought this was great. I thought it had strong imagery and metaphors. I really like, as you mentioned, how he talks to the body, oh, body, you know. And to me, the wonderful thing about this is the main message of the idea of appreciating your body, appreciating what it does, because, you know, it's not just a skeleton with flesh and bones. It's the house for your spirit, and your spirit is what it holds your, you know, experiences. And I really like houses, pockets of exotic pleasures, hiving life-saving elixir, dipped in the honeycomb of merry measures. And oh, body, without you, I'm like the ghost who can boast but fail to touch most. But I miss out the visible host. And so, yeah, the mind is very important. The spirit is very important. But what is it without the body? You know, I have to say that, like, when I mentioned it to Dexter in LNP, I said, well, this should be, like, one that everybody can write to because everybody has a body. And I said, except for me, I'm just a brain in a jar, because I was thinking of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I thought, brain. Remember, I don't know if you remember the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but
I do. I remember that. And although when I think brains in a jar, I think of the heads in the jar on Futurama, because they preserved a whole bunch of people in heads in a jar.
But, yeah, I thought this was a great write and wonderful kind of embrace and an acceptance of the body, and very well done.
I agree. I'm really happy with all the poems tonight.
Me too. It's a great
Robbie day. Knows what I'm talking about. He's like, Nixon's head. Yes, they had President Nixon all the time on that show. His
head, oh, that's awesome.
Floating around talking. All right. So our next poem is by Poetic Prince, R.W., and I believe it's your turn to read, Pam, if you're willing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, all right. Most Humblest is Greatest by Poetic Prince, R.W., and it goes like this. The twisted double strands of life, double helix, dextropanoclic, acid, DNA, blueprints of high complexity, these are none alike and none similar. Full diversification are robins, sparrows, hawks, yet the most spectacular creation is we. Wondrously and fearfully created, we have the potential to rule over this creation. A golden pen stronger than deadly arms, inscribed truth that is bonded on black and on white. God-given gifts with profound insight. Many are called, few are chosen, as once said. For those who have answered the call, if we truly ponder inward and upward and forward, then look to see the most humblest is the greatest. End poem.
Great read. I was nervous about having to say the second line, so I'm glad that you did. I'm not even going to attempt that word. I liked this. I liked that it starts off technical, thinking about, you know, how we're made up of DNA and how small variations in that make the difference between, like, different species, and how we are put together in ways that can make us you know, who we are, and the idea of having so much potential through that DNA. I liked a golden pen stronger than deadly arms. You know, people say the pen is mightier than the sword, but I really liked the way that he worded it. A golden pen stronger than deadly arms. Really nice. If we truly ponder inward and upward and forward. So I like that because it's like, look inside yourself, think about, you know, your gut reactions to things. Look upward, which he seems to be a man of faith. So think about what God, whoever you believe in, would think. And then forward, to look at what we can do in the future. So I liked that inward, upward, forward. And also, you know, it's natural and internal rhyme because all those words have the same connections there. I think this works really great for our show as double helix, part of the DNA, is you know, the foundation of our show. But it also works with looking at the body and our relationship to it. So this doubly works. What are your thoughts, Pam?
Yeah, I like how you mentioned that it doubly works, because it does. You know, it's about the body, but it also, as it says, it gives a nod to the show. Oh, my goodness, that one word, that definitely is a $12 word. I'm going to be expecting my check to be in the mail. So, you know. But, yeah, great write on the importance of the body as a creation and, you know, and I really like, you know, the insight into how we are all unique. Excellent right, and very well done.
I was trying to think of, like, a creative thing that I could send you instead of money. I'm like, well, you can have, like, a copy of one of the L&P anthologies or the Red Free one that I just published. This is your prize.
Send me like 200 AP points.
Ah, the points I could do. That one, actually. All right. I owe Pam. Actually, I owe Pam for a bunch of things, so. can actually pay you now. Our next poem is by Scraps and Scribbles. Body. This is my body. It is rebellious and willfully ignorant of the poor, peevish instance of my ego that it knows best. My body smells like a continent different in each country. Its scents are ideologies evolved independently. It is heavy. The chains on a swing when my imagination would be pushed to the moon. My body's male. It cannot harbor a child within it, nor shall it endure the agony of surrendering that load. My body's gone. For an instant, it disappeared in orgasm. Was her body for an instant? It fights every day with each new cell it displaces. Death anticipated without fear or submission since birth. Conception is after all the death of two cells. Conception is, after all, the death of two cells. End poem. Okay, there were two parts there that were ambiguous in words until after I read it, and then I was like, oh, I inflected that totally wrong. So, for example, part that I have changed my mind about was when it's talking about the sex, for an instant it disappeared in orgasm, was her body for an instant. So it's like, their two bodies became one, whereas at first I thought it was a question of, like, did she also disappear? Did she also have an orgasm? So I inflected that wrong. And then also at the end, conception is after all the death of two cells, because two cells becoming one embryo is an interesting concept. So I found this fascinating, and I like the choices of of images here. And the words like poor peevish insistence of my ego. It has plain language that's easy to understand, but it also, is very carefully put together, I think, in its word choices. I quite enjoyed this. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I too really liked. I liked that this was thought provoking, and but yet with straightforward language and style. You know, I really felt like that this took a realistic look at the male body or at the body in general. You know, I like that they bring up the physical attributes and the way, but also how the body is oftentimes rebellious and willfully ignorant. I like how he brings up the whole stanza about smells. My body smells like a continent different in each country. Its sense or ideologies evolved independently. I think this is the first write that we've had this night that actually mentions smell, you know, which is something we often struggle to, because now I've got, of course, those commercials for that Lumi, which you can't seem to escape from. They really want you to buy that stuff, geez. I too read that part about the getting lost in the orgasm a little differently. Once you realize it's like, you know, what it's saying, and even very fascinating, very thought-provoking in the idea that two cells die in order to become one individual person. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, I love it because it makes me think about things that I've never considered, that they no longer exist because they're together, which means they exist in a whole new way. It's cool. All right, our next poem is by Gred Gustin. Clearly, I need you to read because I can't. Greg Gall. Pam, would you take over from me?
Absolutely. All right. Empty Vessels by Greg Gall. And it goes like this. We are all empty vessels on the ocean of consciousness. Navigate mindfulness to awareness, then awaken. There are many lineages, some shallow harbors. Enlightenment remains always on the horizon. To understand oneness, universal consciousness, embrace nothingness, no self-emptiness. If it seems contradictory, that's not an illusion. Let go, allow ego to dissolve, fall into emptiness. Dismiss judgmentality and raging individualism. Look into suffering with karmic loving kindness. Open to your Buddha nature, your Buddha self. Tame your mind on a meditation cushion. Resist grasping enlightenment. Enlightenment finds you. Empty your vessel and be liberated. Fill your life with love and compassion. Become the other. And poem. And not sure, Faizy, if you're back yet.
I am.
I guess, okay, cool.
I never really left. I was just having a moment where I couldn't get my words out.
Okay.
I was listening.
I get it.
I was just like, I was trying to say Greg, and I was like, I'm like, nope. It's going to be you. But I really enjoyed this. The idea of an ocean of consciousness being within our vessels of our bodies. I think that's beautiful. And the idea of lineages being the harbors where that particular consciousness kind of groups together in families. Just fascinating to me. The the concept of like being able to empty your mind in meditation and be filled with this enlightenment, resist grasping enlightenment, enlightenment finds you. And that's something I have a lot of hard time with. I can't meditate because I do, you know, grasp at it, and then I can't, like, I get lost in thoughts rather than, you know, actually find peace. I tend to spiral out. It's, like, not at all relaxing for me. I'm empty when I want to be full, and I'm full when I want to be empty. But I respect people who can actually meditate properly. And people are always suggesting it to me because I'm a very anxious person. They're like, have you tried meditating? I'm like, yeah, it just gives me panic attacks. It doesn't work. But it's a beautiful concept. I think if you can do it, and it sounds like Greg can, then it's a wonderful thing. You read it for us. Would you also like to comment, Pam?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I like how this pays tribute to enlightenment and to the beauty of the spirit, of the consciousness, and the idea of embracing knowledge. I really like, there are many lineages, some shallow harbors, enlightenment remains always on the horizon. To understand oneness, universal consciousness, embrace nothingness. You know, it is, now I'm the same way as you, meditating does not work for me, but, you know, it is, as you say, a beautiful concept. And I like how he says, resist grasping enlightenment, enlightenment finds you. So, you know, instead of, you know, working hard and stressing yourself out for enlightenment, rather just, you know, open yourself up and let it flow to you. So excellent write and very well done.
I agree. All right. So the next one is by Lou Woodfay. Good to see you, Lou. I haven't read anything by Lou in a little while. So let's see. Number 1,302. That's a lot of poems. Better than silver, better than gold. At 94 pounds and 5 feet 3, I'm pretty short and lean, but I'm probably one of the healthiest bodies you have ever seen. Plant-based diet with few minor indiscretions, which can easily be changed if I changed my few selections. It's not just what you eat or what you drink. Good health, strong mind and body, it also matters what you think. No aches, no pains, I'm one amazing human being. I'm probably half alien, at least that's what I've been thinking. When I was younger, I was fat, unhealthy, nothing like today, but a healthy body emerged when I changed all my bad, unhealthy ways. Lean muscles, flexible limbs, a beautiful body given to me by God who said, inside is a temple and that's what your body should be. I stretch from a body that's short to one that's almost tall. So when I'm rock climbing, I can grab that hold and never have to fall. Hiking, climbing, dancing, yoga, Pilates, and diet helped my transition. Along with epigenetics, they played a part so I can be in my healthiest condition. It's slender, lean, and healthy, and stretches in all the right places. Staying strong and healthy is important, especially in life's later stages. At 70, I've been compared more to a body that's 40 to 50 years old. She's far more precious to me than any silver, worth more than any gold. My body sometimes seems almost too good to really be true. I'm grateful, thankful to this body of mine, a body we call Lou. End poem. Wow, this is a beautiful attitude of gratitude and admiration for her body, and you know, recognizing that you do have to put the work in, that, you know, she used to be less happy with her body, and now she gives it exercise and food that is intentional, just treats it well, and for that reason has a more youthful body than her actual age, which is, you know, another thing that, the Wii Fit used to yell at me for, it was like, you have the body of a 50-year-old. You're not actually 50. So I love that she's going the other way, and she has a youthful body despite being 70. So well done, Lou. And I really enjoy your attitude. And I think there was a nice flow to the writing. There's like a cadence that fits with the tone of it very nicely. What did you think, Pam?
I love this one. First of all, like you said, it's just so great to see something from Lou. There's such a wonderful positive attitude and energy within this. And, you know, I like how she has this exuberance. She has this appreciation for her body. But it's not something that she always had. She had to work for it. You know, I like that she does bring up, you know, that in her younger days, like when I was younger, I was fat, unhealthy, nothing like today, but a healthy body emerged when I changed all my bad, unhealthy ways. I like how she mentions, you know, that it takes work. It takes, you know, exercise and eating healthy. And, you know, I just have to really say kudos to Lou and bravo. What a wonderfully positive poem, and very well done.
Yes, gotta love that attitude. I would like to welcome Robbie to the show. Hi, Robbie.
Hello. Nice to chat with you ladies again after a long hiatus. I know I have only around 20 minutes after this show, or with this show, but maybe I might call in on the other show, so we'll see what happens.
Cool. It's great to have you here.
Thanks.
Did you get to hear Lou's poem?
Yes. I heard like the 90% of it. And I always find poems about transition to be interesting. And like you say, it's always empowering. It's always just a nice thing to hear when it's a positive transition, and it reminded me of a couple of snippets I've seen here and there of how people classify their bodies, how they look at them and all that. Like I remember one comedy, they're trying to get somebody convinced that they're out of shape because they're doing like this work mandated thing and that, and he says, well, you've got the body of a man who's 50s, but I am only 50, you know, and yeah, it just reminded me of those kind of snippets here and there, and I just thought of how all the discrete little ways like we look at ourselves and how, in relation to other people and how we classify our bodies and that, like, I know that at work, I know one guy he's just as strong as an ox, eh? Like, I thought I was I'm in pretty good shape. I thought I was the strongest guy in my department, but he's just an ox. But then I thought to myself today, well, I probably have more endurance than him. And, like, he's like, he looks to me like he's too tall for his height. Do you know what I mean? Or, like, he's almost bent over. And so, like, I thought myself, well, I probably have more endurance, or I'm probably, like, more, you know, agile than him, and it just made me think about all the little ways that we look at each other. Like, we could say, well, in this way I'm better than him, but in this way I'm worse than this person. And but overall, yeah, it was nice to hear in the poem of the transition from having a body that you know, you're working out of, so to speak, like that you're working to when you're working towards the kind of body that you want. And it had like a nice, that kind of nice sing-songy, like it had a strong rhyme scheme, and I thought that rhyme scheme did well for this this poem. It really drove you along with the story.
Love that. Robbie, are you able to read for us the next poem?
Yeah.
Great. There's one by Blues Man there.
Hindsight, correct?
Yes.
Hindsight. My body's a crumbling temple now that I'm old. Run down, unkempt, with hallways all too cold. When I was too young, for me old age was a lark, so I treated my body like an amusement park. Wisdom is priceless when you're running out of time. To have had it in years, in early years, would have been truly sublime. I'll take my crumbling temple with wisdom's shine, bathing in nostalgic memory as I wait for the divine.
Excellent read. I really like the line, I'll take my crumbling temple with wisdom's shine. It's like recognizing that the mind has become, you know, improved, and as the body deteriorates, but it works well together in that way. Better to have some wisdom and a worn-out temple than to have fresh temple that doesn't have the shine of wisdom. I thought that was a really great line. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I did like the theme in this and the idea that, you know, of what we learn as we move forward with life and age, and how, yeah, the body is the crumbling temple, and yet it gives wisdom an opportunity to shine. I also like how this has that feel of, that idea of looking back. When I was young, for me, old age was a lark, so I treated my body like an amusement park. And I think that's a very common thing for people and very relatable is, you know, when we're younger, we oftentimes think we're invincible and then look back and realize that we've learned a lot. So excellent write and very well done.
I agree. And Robbie, what did you think?
Well, this reminded me very much of the sentiment people have of they think, well, you know, when I grow older, well, we all grow older, so, you know, we might as well just treat our bodies like, you know, not so great. Might as well not look after them because I'm going to get there anyway. But to me, the sentiment is kind of awry. It's kind of odd because we're all going to have a downward slide eventually. It's just inevitable. But why not start the slide from a higher peak, right? Because then at least, it's better to slide down from a higher peak than a lower one, and you just like go down really quick. And it also reminded me of how people have this odd sentiment of, and this just drives me crazy. Say, well, look at George Burns. He smoked cigars every day of his life, and it never did him any harm. But they don't take into account genetics. You know, it's like sure he was able to do it, but he probably had the genetics for it, and for all you know, if you do it, you'll die of cancer in 10 years, you know? So it kind of reminded me of that, too. And like you were saying, you know, you have that, there's the idea of where, you know, it seems to be what we all experience in our life, that we usually trade off the body for the mindly wisdom. And, you know, it's always, that's one thing always that at least, you know, we kind of console ourselves with if our body's starting to go down, that at least we've accumulated some wisdom, you know, in our years of life.
I'm not sure that I have.
Well, I was going to say if we've lived right, but then I thought if I said if we've lived right, then I might sound like, oh yeah, all you people out there, you're not living right, you know.
it can kind of come off that way.
A little judgy, yeah.
Yeah.
I figure if I'm laughing at myself, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. The same here.
Pam, would you please read the poem The Tent by Greg Milhorn?
Absolutely. All right, The Tent by Greg Milhorn. In this earthly tent that I dwell inside, is a temporary place where I do reside. When the tent was new, it served me well, always protecting me as an outer shell. Over the years, it became well-worn, but my spirit within is as newborn. The old tent now completely worn out, I'm leaving it behind, for I have no doubt. A new glorified shell, to me he'll give an eternal home. With God I'll live. End poem.
Great read. Thank you, Pam. I like the idea of the body being a tent, especially because tents are generally temporary. They're kind of nomadic in nature. You put them where you need them, and you live there for a temporary time, like generally not live there, but just stay there. If you believe in heaven, everlasting kind of life, then it makes sense that your time on Earth would just be, you know, a tiny blip within that. So it's just, you know, a vacation in a tent, and the tent has protected you, but it's starting to get worn out. And while I'm not religious myself, I appreciate the way that he incorporated his faith into this. Not in a preachy way, but in a beautiful metaphor. Robbie, what did you think?
Well, it's been interesting to see throughout all these poems. Like, I tuned in fairly late, but interesting to see what all the metaphors are for what a body is. We've seen, you know, tent here, like a tower or a temple, and I'm going to have to go back into the contests on the boards there and see what else people have used as a simile for the body. And like you're saying, this one is talking about as a temporary dwelling, and that's the thing. Each simile, each image that we've seen has kind of brought out a different aspect of the body, like so the idea that it's temporary, or like with a if it's a temple, then it's something to be taken care of. And so when you hear all these different images, it's always interesting to see what aspect of the body that they're bringing out, and not just the aspect of the body itself, but what kind of care that you give it. Like, I was just thinking in my head, like, if it was a casino, then all bets are off, you know. So it goes all the way from that to, you know, like treating your body like a temple and taking care of it as best you can.
That's true. I kind of want to make like a little chart to like look at all the different types of things, because there were like some that went down similar paths, but for the most part, everyone's had their own take on it, which is really cool. It's a neat thing about a vague prompt like this, where people really get to put themselves into it. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is a great rhyming poem. I really like how he went with the tent, because as you mentioned, there's a temporary nature to a tent, and it's not something that stands still or that you have set in one place. It oftentimes goes from place to place, so it gives that idea of a life well-traveled. I really like over the years, it became well-worn, but my spirit within is as newborn. So there's the idea of the youthfulness of the spirit within the aging tent. And so excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, I like that youthful spirit thing. I aim to keep that for sure. I consider myself a little bit childlike, and some people think that's a bad thing, but I'm quite proud of that, actually, that I've hold on to that youthful idealism and whimsy. It sounds like the poet has as well. So how old can we really be if we can hold on to that childhood wonder? Next poem is called The Vessel, and it's by Lockdown Larks. The vessel moves, carrying, fumbling, turning, running, crashing, burning. It stops to take fuel on board, then moves on again, bashing, crushing, stumbling, thrashing, rushing, grumbling. Inside there is an ache, a heartbreak, so the vessel seeks refuge, a rest for its frame to take, a haven from life's deluge. The vessel defers to its cargo's instruction, in shadows, an oasis of nothing, contemplating its destruction, or how to make its heart sing. Time seems to stand still as oceans of peace come into view, apparitions of aspirations fill, and the cargo is nearing renew. Then the vessel moves. End poem. I really enjoyed the use of the vessel and the way that it's broken down. So, like, there's those times where it's talking about actions, the carrying, the bashing, the crushing, that those come in lines of three, in two lines at a time of those three actions, verbs, and then the other stanzas are four-line, more traditional stanzas, so that makes those ones really stand out as different. And I like that then is just a one-word line because it creates that dramatic pause. And I know I can be over-dramatic when I read, but I like dramatic pauses. I enjoyed the way that, where is it? Apparitions of aspirations, Phil. The similarity of those two words just made it really fun for me, apparitions and aspirations, because, I mean, not only does it have the alliterations of the A's, but there's the P sounds and the, I don't know, I love those two words working together, especially because it makes perfect sense. You know, it's not just like two words thrown together because they sound cool. It creates a wonderful line. So I really love that line. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I did also really like the alliteration in this and the flow to the words. You know, I really like the bashing, crushing, stumbling, thrashing, rushing, grumbling. I thought this was a wonderful extended metaphor that, you know, looks at the body as a vessel and the movement and the journeys that it goes through throughout life. And I really also like the vessel defers to its cargo's instructions and shadows and oasis and things, contemplating its destruction. Or how to make its heart sing. I like how that part really reflects on the idea of taking care of the body. So excellent write and very well done.
Agreed. And Robbie, what were your thoughts?
Well, I've noticed that with it seems like a great majority of these poems, a lot of them are using the same sort of rhyme schemes structure, a lot of the strong internal rhyming, and I was kind of curious with that and thinking about why that might be. And what I'm thinking is that since life is a journey, it kind of is like, it kind of reminds one of like a, maybe epic isn't the right word, but a story or like a tale of some sort. And often with things like epics, fairy tales, that sort of thing, that's the kind of rhyme scheme that you have since you're telling a story, since you're telling a tale. So that was kind of my thinking on that. And with this one, as much as it was using a different image of like the body being a vessel, it was to me like the vessel and it's crashing and thrashing, all that kind of thing. It was talking about the type of journey that that life can be. Like, you know, sometimes it's calm, sometimes it's receding, and other times it's just all crashing about. So, again, I'm going to be going back to the boards, reading more of the poems to see how many other of the poems, like, fit into that strong internal rhyme scheme.
Excellent comment. We are going to have some carryovers because we only have 4 minutes left, and I don't think that's enough to really delve into another of the poems. So Naomi, Corin, J.K., Mac, and Stuart, we will be doing your poems on the next show. So that's carried over for in 2 weeks because we only do a show every second week. We have not forgotten you. We are going to use your poems next time, so we have time to properly comment. Tomorrow night, in the after midnight, so actually, technically, if we're going by Eastern time, which most LNP is, we are going to be on Saturday morning, though for me, it's still Friday night, so I have a hard time thinking of it as Saturday. We are going to have my show, Part Sinner, Part Saint, with Babbler, and our contest has ended, but you can still enter your pre-writes on the board. And our contest is based on a poem by Neil Hilborn. So the prompt is, see, we are wrong when we say, I think, therefore I am. The more we say it, the more it sounds like, I think, therefore I will be. You cannot think yourself into a full table. You cannot think and make walls and roof appear around you. I have thought and thought myself into corners made of words, nightmares, and what has it gotten me but more thoughts, a currency that only buys more currency. So please, if you want to continue existing, do something. Learn to make clouds with only your breath. Build a house, even if every wall leans to the left. Love it anyway, just like a season, just like a child. Love how you hate yourself sometimes, because goddamn, at least there's something to hate. It's so easy to think and keep thinking until you are the last person left on Earth, until the entire world is no longer the space between, no longer than the space between your bed and the light switch. But I hear the world is ending soon. When we go, and we're all going to go, I will be part of it. So that's a poem by Neil Hilborn, and he's an amazing spoken word poet. You can find him on YouTube through Button Poetry, and he has so many really powerful pieces that he reads with such emphasis. Excellent speaker. So this is the prompt, and I know that we have many, many wonderful responses to it that we're going to be celebrating on Part Sinner, Part Saint. So I hope that you'll listen there. Our time is up, so thank you so much to Robbie and Pam and Felon for calling in, and to everyone who wrote for Dex's contest, provided SoundClouds, and to Phil, my eyes, for giving us this time on her radio station. Good night, everyone.